Alright, everyone, hold on. Let me bring this up a little bit. There we go. Alright, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's... No, almost said Uncanny Valley because I'm used to saying it, but this is Grimm's Hentai Corner, and we are back with Gore Screaming Show. It's been a long time, so let's catch up with the crew and see what's going on with this new episode, I guess you could say. I can't even remember what they were doing. Do you guys know? Because I sure don't. It's been a long time. Good morning, Kyoji. Kyoji groggily drags his feet as he shambles to the door, then greets her with a sleepy voice. Morning. Why do you always have to be such a sleepyhead? Go wash your face. At this point, she can't even use the delivery of handouts as an excuse to come here, but he doesn't bring that up to her. They go to school together once again, speaking about this and that as they walk. As the school slowly comes into view, they spot more students walking together in groups. Akane pushes Kyoji forward. You go ahead. What? What's the big idea? Just go. I think everyone already knows we went to watch a movie together, so it'd be awkward if we walked in the class together too. Oh? Anyway, I'll come to class in a bit. Bye. I mean, sure. Just the other day, she was complaining about Kyoji not wanting to walk with her, but today she's complaining about the opposite. He thinks to himself that surely they're probably way past that point already. Kyoji slowly pulls ahead of her. When he next glances over his shoulder, he sees Akane falling about 50 meters behind him. Her eyes are fixed directly on him. There's a faint smile on her lips, which makes Kyoji smile, too. Dummy. Kyoji throws his big bag over his shoulder and passes through the school gate. That morning is relatively peaceful. As soon as Akane makes it to the classroom, the girls surround and start teasing her. Kyoji occasionally feels the prickle of their gazes on him, but he tries to ignore it. Being self-conscious about it would probably just make him look lame. Although some of the boys ask him the odd teasing question, they don't make nearly as much of a fuss about it as the girls do. It seems like it's mostly because the guys are still afraid of Sadashima's group. For some reason, the three weirdos are oddly docile today. They're huddled together and whispering about something, but they keep their voices down and are uncharacteristically quiet. Sadashima himself doesn't seem to be planning to make any moves for now. He's holed up in his usual corner, sitting well surrounded by his cronies as always. Kyoji can feel the occasional glance he throws in his direction, though. Just ignore him, Kyoji. I know. I'm not going to give him the time of day. Shinta gives him a concerned warning, but Kyoji replies calmly. During class and the breaks in between, Kyoji's gaze occasionally meets Akane's. From time to time, he realizes that someone is looking at him. Whenever he looks up from his textbook, he catches Akane looking at him from the middle row. Every time their eyes meet, she blushes and turns her eyes back to the blackboard. The teacher even scolds her once for looking away. What the hell are you doing? Yes. Would you keep your eyes on the lesson? Now translate page 94 for us. Okay. Not that he's one to talk, Kyoji thinks to himself. They have an off-campus excursion planned for class that afternoon. After Kyoji gets himself something to eat at the school store and starts talking with Shinta, Akane approaches them both. The other girls are all looking at them from afar and giggling. Maybe he's imagining it, but Akane's expression looks a bit proud. It's supposed to be an investigation of the town. The teacher's going to assign us areas so we can make a map. Apparently, this whole matter was planned out the week before Kyoji transferred in. It seems that the groups that are investigating each site have already been decided on. What are you going to do, Kyoji? I think you're the only one who isn't in a group. Well, I don't know. What group are you in, Shinta? Shinta's gaze moves from Kyoji to Akane, then back again. You know that if I invite you now, I'll just come across as the bad guy, right? No one said that. Plus, my group is all girls, so Kyoji would just feel awkward if he joined. I'm sure your group is definitely better, Maki-kun. But you want to be in the same group as Jin-no-kun, right, Akane-chan? Oi cuts off Akane before she can finish. Hey, Oi! Where'd that come from? Akane goes very red as she turns towards Kyoji. Oi should be in the boys' group, right, Kyoji? Yeah! Spurred by her prodding, Kyoji ends up nodding in agreement. But things don't end up going that way. Regarding today's investigation of the city, it will take place as planned. The teacher is talking strangely. Kyoji exchanges puzzled looks with his classmates. However, there will be changes. Last week, you submitted a schedule, but it will have to be discarded. The entire classroom starts murmuring in confusion. Sensei, what do you mean discarding the schedule? One of the boys raises his voice, but the teacher ignores his question and starts passing out handouts with awkward, stiff motions. Your teams will be according to this list. Your designated sites will also be according to this list. Kyoji reads the handout that's passed down from him from the front seats. What is this paper? The group assignments are written in childish, crooked handwriting. It's as if the teacher wrote them with his non-dominant hand. And the space in between each of the letters is weird, too. So much so that it's difficult to read. Each letter is either too high, too low, or simply off from the ones before and after it. The names keep wandering out of the lines, meaning it's hard to tell who's in which group. On top of that, the groups have been given strange names like Happy Bear Group or Hoppy Rabbit Group. Incidentally, Kyoji's group is apparently called Brady Cat Group. What's with these names? Well, I guess we're still in the same group, Kyoji. Yes, us and... The other members are Akane, Aoi, and Kiika. That's fortunate enough, since none of Sadashima's gang are in it, but... Kyoji looks at the rest of the assignment. He looks at the assignment. Puzzled, maybe he's reading too much into it, but the rest of the group seem to have been organized either by alphabetical order or according to their seat numbers. So why is Kyoji's group the only one that's different? But Sensei, why can't we go with the group assignments we decided on earlier? One girl raises her hand in complaint. A few of the other students murmur in agreement. Shut your mouth! The teacher slams the textbook in his head against his lectern. The girl spoke up, jolts in fright. Shut up! With each word, he slams the book against the table again and again. He jumps up high behind the lectern, shaking his head so hard his hair flips around. It looks to Kyoji like he's headbanging at a concert. You will do as your teacher says. Good boys and girls obey their teachers. Yes, they do. Yes, indeed. If that's clear, then go! Go on out, hurry! The teacher points at the door, frothing at the mouth. Sadashima's group is the first to stand up. Hey, let's bounce. I'm not playing along with this bullshit. He and his flunkies ignore the group of Simons walking out of the classroom. After that, the rest of the students, although seemingly displeased with the affair, join up with their groups and leave. The girls approach Kyoji. Let's go! Yeah, good idea. They pick up their notebooks and writing utensils before getting to their feet. As they're about to leave the classroom, Kyoji turns around one last time. He sees the teacher suddenly look up like a toy that just had its spring freshly wound. You know, like a wind-up toy? He turns to Kyoji's group, his expression blank and his mouth closed, and waves at them in the same way a small child might. Kyoji feels like he witnessed something oddly forbidden. That thought makes him hurry out into the corridor and close the door behind him. I wonder if he's exhausted or something. Possessed is my guess. Does being tired make you go off the rails that badly? Well, my grandma always tells me that people crack really easy when they built up stress. That's true. I hope he has a good therapist. Everyone chimes in with something, but it feels like none of them are all that convinced of what they're saying. Let's get going. We don't have much time to do this. At Kyoji's urging, the group starts moving towards their designated spot. This place again? As they step onto the shrine's grounds, Kyoji lets out a heavy sigh. Their designated site, as on the handout, is near the Nishimori Shrine. They've all agreed it would be faster to cut through the shrine's grounds, and so they've ended up here again, 5 days after their first visit. Over here, Jino-kun! Kika waves at him. They go down a road leading past the main shrine building and onto a trail. If they go much further, they'll find the Hokora Yamako investigated. Oh, excuse me, they'll find the Hokora that Yamako investigated the other day. Whoa, this is rough! Despite being the most athletic among them by virtue of being on the soccer team, Shinta's the first to complain. Aren't you in a sports club? My club wears me out plenty as is. I don't need to exhaust myself doing anything else. The slope should even out in a little while, so just keep at it. Akane looks a little annoyed. Seeing her this way has Kyoji worrying about her even more. This area has some pretty bad memories for her and Kyoji, after all. It seems like Akane hasn't forgotten what happened, either. Kyoji looks away, feeling like there's a bone stuck in his throat. There's a blank map on the handout. The part that depicts the top of the mountain where the Hokura is circled. Aoi! Oh, she says Aoi. Okay, so Aoi, can you take out the colored pencils? Yeah. When they reach the peak, Akane starts drawing the Hokura. What else are we supposed to draw here, though? It doesn't look like there's anything else around. But we can't go back after drawing just one spot, Aoi says, nervously fidgeting around. Maybe we should just draw the trees or something. If we do that, all we'll be drawing is trees. So actually, if you go a bit ahead, there's this old well. Kyoji raises his hand to point it out. Right, there's that. It might be worth checking out, should we? No one seems to be against it, and with nothing else to investigate, they end up going to the well. Kyoji slows down and matches his pace with Akane, who's uncharacteristically hanging back behind the rest of the group. You alright? Huh? Why do you ask? Akane looks at him with an oddly strained expression. No, it's just, you know, that well's around here and you were pretty scared of it. Oh, what, that? Akane's expression mellows. That's fine. The well didn't really creep me out. It was more that girl, Yuka. And besides, we're a big group today. Yeah, well, that's good to hear. Kyoji remembers that it felt like it took a long time to reach the well the last time they came here. But this time it seems they reach it awfully quickly. He spots the familiar brickwork well hidden under the shadows of the trees. So this is the well? Yep. Wow, I didn't know something like this was here. The well hasn't changed since the last time they saw it. The vines they tore away from back then are still lying on the ground, wilted and dry. The concrete lid is still sitting slightly askew on the well, just as they left it. An old well. How's this look? You're really good at drawing, Misono-san. Shinta says, sounding impressed as he looks at Kiyoka's drawing. Now they're saying, Aoi or Aoi. What's wrong, Aoi? Aoi, who's been looking at the trees this whole time, murmurs in reply. I can see a house over there. A house? Everyone's gaze follows Aoi's. Oh, you're right, there's a house over there. Without any of them really taking the lead, they all start heading towards it. Why? It's a bit hard to see, but there's a proper path leading to it. The ground is flatter and all the rough pebbles have been removed. At some point, flagstones start to pave its length. The woods open into a wide clearing. The stone-paved road leads to a large, old-fashioned western estate. Oh man, kind of like the Spencer Mansion in Resident Evil. The facades and top hinge windows are covered in vines. The gables have engravings on them, and the roof is covered in slate tiles. It's Kyoji's first time seeing such a large, fancy estate. Shinta's mouth hangs open. Holy cow! I think it's my first time seeing something like this, like this. There's a period there. Kyoji, did you know this house was here? No. Kyoji shakes his head. He used to play around here all the time back when he lived here as a kid, but he never knew about this. Something feels off about this. It's possible he missed a well, but in fact, he never saw this large house once in all the years he played around in these woods. Strikes him Something feels off about this. It's possible that he missed the well, but the fact that he never saw this large house once in all the years he played around in these woods strikes him as wrong. Akane seems to be thinking the same thing because she looks at it with surprise, incredulous eyes. It doesn't look like it's been newly built. Definitely not. The place looks like it's falling apart. It's completely covered with overgrown vines. It certainly doesn't look like a new building. Most damning of all are the cracked windows and the rotting wood of the front door. It doesn't look like anyone lives here. Aoi whispers. Yeah, it looks a little too run down for someone to live here. It's cool though. Ruins are exciting, don't you think? I actually like looking at picture collections of old buildings. Wow, I never knew you were into that. Well, it's not like my hobby, really. My mom and sister like to look at them a lot, though. As he says this, Shinta approaches the mansion. Maki-kun, isn't it dangerous? The place might be falling apart. Don't worry, I'll be careful. Shinta peeks in through a window. Kyoji, curious, follows after him. The window's glass is covered in dust, but Kyoji can still make out what's inside. Various old-fashioned furniture sits inside, looking similarly abandoned and uncared for. There's furniture inside. Huh? So someone's living in there? Akane asks curiously, falling behind him. You're right. Is this the living room? This place looks rich. Looking around him, he sees Aoi and Kika are also standing nearby, peering inside just like him. Huh? But if there's furniture in there, doesn't that mean someone lives here?
病院なんかの廃墟でもさ、注射器とか医療器具が放置されたままのとことか結構あんだぜ。
You don't know that. You can find things like syringes and old medical equipment lying around in abandoned hospitals, right? Did you learn that from your sister's picture collections too?
すっげえ不気味なんだ。あのな、殺人事件があった病院だとかね。
Yup, it's super creepy. Apparently a murder took place in this one hospital.
ちょっと、そういう話をするのやめなさいよ。
Hey, no scary stories right now. Akane cuts Shinta off. You're the one telling me that? Usually you're the first to listen to horror stories.
そうだけど、でも今この場所じゃ。
Yeah, but not here and now. Excuse me. A feeble voice disturbs their conversation. An aging woman with a very emaciated face looks at them from the front door. She wears an eye patch on her hollow-cheeked, pallid face. She has bandages around her neck, hunched back, and a crooked posture that only remains upright by virtue of leaning on a cane. She looks less like a woman and more like a hag. Her sickly, injured appearance is unpleasant to behold. Feeling uncomfortable about how they were just vocally criticizing her house, Kyoji awkwardly freezes up.
皆さん、下の学校の学生さんですわよね。
Hmm? Are you all from the school at the bottom of the mountain?
そうです。すみません、勝手にお庭に入り込んじゃって。
Hmm? Yes, that's right. We're sorry for stepping into your garden like this.
私たち、授業の一環で、この辺りの地図を作りに来たんです。たまたま通りかかって、あんまり素敵なお宅だったものですから。
We're on an assignment to draw a map of the area for class. We were passing by and thought your house was quite lovely.
すみません、すぐに出ます。
We're sorry, we'll be right out. Shinta hurriedly starts to leave, but the woman stops him with a strained expression.
ああ、行かないで。よろしかったら、中でお茶でも飲んでいってください。
Ah, don't go. I'd like to invite you inside for tea if you don't mind. The offer catches them by surprise. They'll all exchange glances.
でも私たち授業中ですから、あまり長くは。
We're in the middle of an assignment for school. We can't stay for too long. The woman implores them, wringing her hands with a desperate expression.
お手間は取らせませんから。うちの、その、娘があなた方にぜひ会いたいと。
I won't take much of your time. My, the daughter says she very much wants to see you. Daughter?
ええ、かわいそうな子なんです。病気で学校にも行けなくて。
Yes!
お願いいたします。
The poor thing, she's sick and can't attend school. So if you could, please, please. She bows her head again and again. The woman's age, not to mention her emaciated, sickly appearance, make it hard for them to refuse when she begs them like this. Akane turns to look at Kyoji with a troubled expression. What do we do? She asks him. Why are you asking me? I don't know, I just feel like I should. Well, you're the main character, dummy. It's not just Akane. Everyone's gazes are fixed on Kyoji because he's the main character. He isn't sure how or why, but for some reason everyone here is looking to him to make a decision because he's the main character. Why me, damn it? Hold on. Definitely need to save this, if I can remember. Because I might end up with a bad end. I'm going in, guys. I want to see what happens.I guess we can check it out. The lady seems pretty desperate. Kyoji eventually comes to this conclusion. Yeah, and I feel bad for a sick daughter. Maybe all she wants are friends. Just for a bit, I guess? Shinta asks, seeking approval. Everyone ends up nodding.
こちらです。どうぞ。
Please come this way. The woman leads the group inside. You think this old lady's the maid here or something? She said daughter earlier, though. I think she lives here. But she looks a little Akane hesitates before finishing her sentence, but Kyoji understands what she means. He looks far too shabby to be the owner of such a large mansion. Her unevenly cut hair is much too short. Patches of her scalp are entirely bare. What hair she does have is grizzled, dry, and dull. The clothes she wears are also concerning. Her cardigan is covered in lint and full of holes. She certainly doesn't look like this house's owner. The rhythm of her footsteps and the clicking of her thick cane leave his ears ringing. Maybe it's nursing fatigue. Her daughter is sick after all, and she's probably ill in some way too. The three of them walk ahead of Allie, whispering so the woman ahead of them won't hear them. They pass through a large entrance hall, turn to the right, then walk down a corridor. As Kyoji looks around the doors, at the doors to either side, Shinta sidles up to him and whispers, "Hey, Kyoji, what?" You know how in situations like this, the first ones to go are the ones that are having sex? Huh? I mean in horror movies, it's either that or it's a scene where a woman dies in the shower. Kyoji tiredly drops his shoulders. What are you talking about? I mean this mansion just has that feel. Despite his reaction, Kyoji can understand how Shinta feels. It's dark. Kyoji thinks that to himself as he looks around the place. The mansion is quite impressive. Kyoji is hardly an expert on the topic, but even he can tell that the furniture and fixtures are probably very expensive. However, everything is covered in thick layers of dust. Nothing looks like it's been properly taken care of, as if no one has cleaned or fixed up the place for years. The stale air makes Kyoji feel like he can't breathe properly. It occurs to him that any sick people living here probably won't get better because of just how filthy the place is. Over here. The woman stops in front of a central door that's larger than the ones to either side. After she knocks on the door, a response comes in from within. Come in! She walks in first. I brought them over. Even though there's nothing suspicious about that exchange, at least on a surface level, Kyoji doesn't seem to be the only one that thinks that this is very strange. Everyone exchanges confused glances, but in the end, they walk in as well. As soon as he steps into the room, Kyoji's eyes widen. Hello, Oni-chan! They all uncomfortably settle into the sofa. They sit on the oblong sofa in the middle of the room. Kyoji's sitting in the middle with Akane and Shinta beside him. Aoi and Kika take another sofa on the left. Sitting on the seat opposite of them is Yuka, her lips curled up in a sweet smile and her head cocked to the side. Hey Kyoji, who is this girl? A friend of yours? Like I'd be friends with someone like her. Yuka seems to shrink upon hearing Kyoji's spiteful words. Hey, Kyoji, how can you say that? She's a little girl. Kyoji wordlessly glares at Yuka, who suddenly brings a hand to her mouth. I'm sorry. You're still mad at me, aren't you? Her clear, large, crystal-like eyes well up with tears. Huh? You hate me because I kept following you around, don't you? No, I... Kyoji stammers confused. It feels like all his animosity from before is drained out of him. Yuka remains seated, hanging her head like she's on the verge of tears. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I just don't have any friends, so I wanted someone to talk to, but I just didn't know what to say. I really didn't mean to be bad. Small teardrops fall upon her fingers that are clenching the hem of her skirt. As a surge of guilt shoots through Kyoji, Shinta elbows him. But is this Yuka really the same girl he saw from before? Shut your trap already. Huh? You annoying busybody. What, do you think sticking your nose where it doesn't belong makes you a saint? Hey, what are you saying? You're annoying, you know that? Everyone else just doesn't feel comfortable telling you that. How can she be so docile and friendly now when she was so nasty the other day? Maybe she's bipolar. Same voice in his head warns Kyoji that she's trying to deceive them. But seeing tears fall from Yuka's eyes even as she tries to hold them back gives Kyoji the uncomfortable feeling that he's bullying a child. Akane rises from the sofa and kneels next to Yuka. Don't cry, Yuka. This guy, he's a little foul-mouthed, but he's nice at heart. He's not mad at you. Hey, Akane. Isn't that right, Kyoji? Right? Akane looks at Kyoji, signaling him with her eyes. It's clear she wants him to just nod and agree. She's treating him like the bad guy here. There's one thing I gotta ask. Why did you say all those mean things the other day? I'm sorry. I don't need your apologies, just answer the question. Jino-kun, even Kika's expression darkens as she tries to stop Kyoji from questioning her. However, he refuses to back down about this. Yuka raises her tear-streaked face. I was jealous. You're all such good friends and you all have so much fun. So I wanted to pull a little prank on you. Seems convincing enough. I'm really sorry. I won't do it again. I wanted to apologize and then I saw you stop by my house. So I asked Mommy to call you over for me. Yuka's apology is quite proper. The extent to which she goes to apologize causes even Kyoji to lose the urge to press her any further. Will you forgive me, Oni-chan? The pressure of everyone's eyes upon him feels like nails piercing through him. Even Ali, who's usually disinterested in whatever might be going on, is staring daggers at Kyoji. Sticking to his guns when he's the only person who thinks this way just feels stupid. Even Akane, who's the one who got offended, is kneeling next to Yuka and holding her hand. He has no choice but to say yes. Oh, that's great! Yuka beams at him, a rosy blush on her cheeks. She really is cute. Everyone else stares at her, enchanted. Even Kyoji has to admit she looks as cute as those idols on TV. Yuka stares at Kyoji with a grin, looking genuinely happy. Thank you for forgiving me. I'll never ever say stuff like that again. Mommy scolded me afterwards. She told me I shouldn't say things like that, right, Mommy? The woman from earlier who has been standing in the corner nods after a slight pause. Yes, that's right. That said, looking at the two of them now, they don't look like mother and daughter at all. Yuka is as cute as a doll, but next to her, her mother looks less like her mother and more like her grandmother. Mommy, what about the tea? Yuka's smile deepens as she cocks her head. Oh, Mommy, I told you to make them tea earlier. Did you forget already? Right, you did. I'm sorry. I'll go make it right now. Yuka's mother looks terribly flustered by this. Her cane slips across the floor, causing her to lose her balance. Kyoji and Shinta hurriedly get to their feet to lend her a hand, but she grabs the door just in time, regaining her balance. She then slips into the corridor and disappears from sight. Kyoji furrows his brow. The way Yuka's mother panicked didn't seem normal to him. Why was she so flustered? As he returns to the sofa, his gaze immediately clashes with Yuka's. You know, despite how she looks, Mommy's kind of a flustered klutz. And she's forgetful, too. Yuka brings her hands together and tilts her head. You're on a school assignment, right? Then you can't stay here for long, can you? Still, feel free to take a little break. I'm sick, so I can't go to school, and we only just moved in here. It's my first time talking to so many people at once. I'm so happy. Kyoji and the others end up staying there until just before it's time for them to head back to the school. Yuka eagerly tells them she doesn't have a father and that she's lonely. That makes them all the more reluctant to leave. She walks them to the entrance hall, crosses her arms behind her back, then rises up slightly on tiptoe to gaze into Kyoji's eyes. Please come visit me again. I mean all of you, of course. Yeah, for sure. Akane replies with a grin. Bye. Everyone starts walking back the way they came. Kyoji starts to leave as well, but for some reason his legs suddenly freeze up. He feels like he had just heard someone calling for him to stop, almost like someone had tugged on him from behind. As Yuka waves at them, he sees her mother standing behind her in the entrance hall looking straight at him. The mother's eyes seem to cling to Kyoji. When her gazes meet his, she parts her lips as if to say something. But... what was that just now? Even further behind her mother, at the very edge of the hall, he sees a glimpse of something like black fabric, rather, guys. Just then, the mother's expression changes. Yuka's mother goes completely pale. She walks, no fleas, into the other room, tripping over a bad leg. What's wrong, Oni-chan? Despite them being the ones escorted out, Yuka's mother walks off stunned. Yuka looks up at him curiously. Did mommy do something? Yuka's eyes narrow. Not really. Actually, is there anyone else in the house besides you and your mom? No. There isn't. I told you earlier, just me and mommy. Why? I could swear I saw someone else moving around inside. It looked like the cuff of a shirt or something. Hearing that, Yuka brings a hand to her mouth and chuckles. Mommy probably forgot to close the window. He must have seen a curtain flapping around. Right? I swear, Mommy can be so careless. I'll have to give her a talking to. Yuka puts her hands on her hips in a theatrical display of anger, but her big round eyes twinkle impishly. She's gonna scold her? I couldn't say that about my mom, not even as a joke. If Kyoji ever dared to say that, his mother would slap him in the face twice over. Sure, every family's different, but as far as a parent-child relationship goes, Yuka seems to be pretty strange. Kyoji, let's go. We're gonna be late. Yeah, I'll be going then. Yeah, see ya. Now that they're leaving the place, they notice that the trees almost seem to form a fence around the perimeter of the mansion. The opening between them that leads outside looks like a gate. Everyone's standing there waiting for Kyoji. Sorry I kept you waiting. It's fine, don't worry about it. You were reluctant to say goodbye, right? Shinta pokes him in the ribs. Kyoji pokes him right back. Huh? As if. Despite everything, you didn't want to say goodbye, didn't you? I mean, that girl looked totally attached to you. I mean, you were the only one she was looking at the whole time. Hey, Maki-kun, you can't say stuff like that. She's a little girl. Akane raises her voice in annoyance, but Shinta shrugs. A moment later, Shinta sidles up to Kyoji, whispering so that Akane can't hear him. I think someone's jealous. Huh? Are you listening to yourself, man? Kyoji tries to elbow him again, but Shinta dodges away with a chuckle. Aoi and Kika stand a short distance away, huddled together. In the end, the map ended up being just the In the end, the map ended up being just a well, the Holkra, and this mansion. There's nothing else here, though. Yeah, well, I don't think the teacher can complain about this. Still, I never knew there was a house around here. Maybe it's one of those imported house things, like when they rebuild houses from overseas somewhere else. There were houses like that in one of my sister's photo collections. As he listens to Shinta's merry chatter, Kyoji finds his mind occupied by pensive thoughts. The imploring gaze Yuka's mother directed at him as he left is burned into his mind. Her eyes almost seem to cling to him. Despite her being an adult and far more mature than him, she had that kind of look in her eyes. What made her so desperate? Concern for a sickly daughter? Joy at seeing her girl finally make some friends? Anxiety from her uncertain future? Being a boy, Kyoji can't imagine how she must have felt. Even when she was serving them tea while they were chatting with Yuka, the woman seemed restless, fidgeting back and forth. Poor Yuka-chan, though. She doesn't have a dad, her mom looks old and frail, and Yuka-chan herself is sickly. She lives off in the mountains, can't go to school, has no friends. She must be so lonely and miserable. Akane frowns solemnly. Yeah, I bet. To be honest, the first time we met her, I was really afraid of her. I mean, she said all those weird things, and when I met her first, and when I met her after that... You met her after that? Alright, I never told you. Actually, a couple of days after that, I saw Yuka near my house. She said something about how she wants to be happy. Akane scratches her cheek with an awkward smile. Whoops, sorry about that, guys. Looking back at it now, I guess I'm more of a scaredy cat than I think. I was terrified when she approached me, so I couldn't really say anything back to her. But thinking back on it now, I guess she just wanted someone to play with. Could be. I guess I shouldn't think too hard about it. It just makes me feel bad. He feels the same way Akane does. Yet somehow he can't quite shake off his suspicion. He can't quite shake off his suspicions about this Yuka girl. She acted completely innocent the whole time they were talking, looking as pleasant and adorable as her cherubic appearance suggested. At one point, Shinta even whispered into Kyoji's ear that he wouldn't mind getting another little sister if she were like this girl. From Shinta, that's saying a lot as he lives in a household dominated by the women where he and his dad don't have much of a say. Oof. But honestly, I was kind of relieved when I left that place. I mean, the house is kind of suffocating. You too, Maki-kun? I felt the same way. I mean, it's a pretty house, but it has this really dark atmosphere. Maybe it's haunted. Aoi mumbles. Hey, Aoi, cut that out. You shouldn't say scary stuff like that. Ah, but maybe that's why things are so bad for them. You see it on TV a lot. With TV. Like some lingering malice of the spirits of the elders or a ghost that's haunting the house curses the family with misfortune. Oh yeah, you love those kinds of stories. Namiki-san, could you please not say stuff like that? But... But maybe the house really is the reason both of them are so sick. Hey, Masano-san, not you too? I mean, the climate in Japan is different from abroad. Maybe the house's architecture is foreign and meant for a different climate where the humidity is very different, so it's very uncomfortable to live in. Oh, maybe you're right. I guess it isn't healthy for them if the house is too damp. They slowly start walking back. They pass through the gate like gap in the trees. As they pass by the well again, someone calls out to Kyoji. Hey! Or, hey, rather. That's not really a hey, that's more of a hey. A tall man sways to his feet under the shade of the trees. He's wearing a worn-out, filthy coat and his face is covered in stubble. He doesn't look much different from the vagrants that sleep curled up in the corner of the train station. But Kyoji and the others see something about him that sets him apart from those people. His eyes. A pair of keen eyes is visible behind his sunglasses. Even with how deeply hidden they are within his sunken eye sockets, those eyes stare at Kyoji and the others with a sharp, severe look as if piercing them through. His gaze is so fierce that Kyoji wouldn't be surprised if he tried to stab them right then and there. It's like he's a wolf eyeing its prey. The man stands in front of them, looking at each of them up and down a few times as if somehow appraising them. His eyes seem to linger on Kika for an especially long time. She retreats a couple of steps, looking a bit frightened. Who are you? When Kyoji sullenly snaps at him, Akane tugs on his sleeve. She shakes her head, making it clear that she doesn't want him to get involved with this man. You kids, you just left that mansion. Was there someone inside? Kyoji gazes directly at him, refusing to look away. He gets the feeling that looking away would somehow be admitting defeat. The others exchange confused gazes behind him. They're not sure they should be talking to this dangerous-looking man. We were told not to talk to strangers. Everyone, let's go. Akane makes that assertion in a clear voice. Let's go, Kyoji. Kyoji begins to walk away, despite Shinta pulling on his arm. Told not to talk to strangers, eh? Kyoji can hear the man scoffing at them. Then you shouldn't be walking into a stranger's mansion, should you? Kyoji, ignore him. Let's just go. Everyone walks away with hurried steps. They rush past the Hokura, down the staircase, and out of the shrine grounds. Akane only speaks up again once they reach the trail that leads to the shrine's entrance. Who was that guy? He was so creepy. I've never seen him around these parts. You don't think he's... Kyoji drops his voice to a whisper while looking at the rest of the group. Maybe it's him. The guy behind all the disappearances. We shouldn't jump to such thoughtless conclusions. Despite how scared she must be from the man staring, Kika has remained calm. I mean, he looks like the kind of guy who'd totally be up to something. I mean, he does, but... They go down the trail. The school comes into view between the trees, but I wouldn't want to go back into it. Upon returning to the classroom, they find nearly everyone else has beaten them back. Tsurashima and his crew are missing, but... That doesn't come as a surprise. What does come as a surprise is how everyone without exception looks terribly confused. What's the matter? Akane calls out to a nearby girl. She points to the teacher's desk. Their teacher is standing there upright, his hands gripping the desk. Did Sensei do something? We try talking to him, but no matter what we say, he doesn't answer at all. The teacher stands rooted in place, as still as a statue. It's almost like he's staring at something, but his unfocused eyes don't seem to be looking at anything. What do we do? Allie asks. Their map is in her hand. Yeah, that's true. I don't know what we can do. Let's just turn it in, I guess. Akane takes the map from Allie and walks to the teacher's desk. Sensei, we're supposed to turn this in, right? His lack of reaction is eerie. Kyoji waves a hand in front of the teacher's eyes, but he doesn't even blink. Should we, like, call an ambulance for it? I'll go call the teacher from the class next door. But when Kika tries to leave the classroom, something strange happens. The classroom door suddenly opens. Just then, the teacher has been standing upright up until now, suddenly bends at the waist. His upper body falls forward. After that, his body spasms violently a few times. What's happening? Akane clings Kyoji in fear. Kyoji stands on guard, too. But after a moment, the teacher stops convulsing. He stands up properly again, a wide grin now visible on his face.
Hey, welcome back, welcome to class, welcome home!
He spreads his arms wide and nods a few times.
The maps, bring out your maps, submit them, yes? Of course you are, of course you will!
The teacher snatches the map from Akane's hands, practically tearing it from her grip.
Yes, wonderful, very wonderful map, an A plus.
He takes out a red pen from his breast pocket, which he uses to draw an A plus adorned with flowers before returning the map to Akane.
Class is dismissed! Dismissed! Now, everyone, goodbye!
With everyone staring at him in disbelief, the teacher walks out of the classroom, swinging his arms and legs like he's in a parade. What was that? I don't know. Guess he went crazy? That's the only plausible answer. But Alan, why did the door open on its own? It didn't look like someone entered the classroom, though. Was that some kind of prank? And is Kyoji imagining things, or did the teacher come to his senses at the exact moment that happened? The Sandman enters the classroom, taking the other teacher's place. It's almost time for the final homeroom session that ends the day. The Sandman glances at the hallway from time to time like he's unsure what to make of the spectacle from earlier.
What happened to him?
We don't know either. Akane answers looking puzzled. Ando nods with his usual unmotivated expression.
Fine then. What's this, by the way?
Oh yes, this is a map of Nishimori Shrine. We made it for our assignment last period. Oh, he still went ahead with that assignment? There's a house around there? Yes, sir. Akane's expression makes it clear she thinks why else would we draw it, but she nods obediently nonetheless. Ando stares at Kika's drawing of the mansion, puzzled. It's strange. I don't think I've ever heard about anyone living there. And in such a respectable house at that. Maybe he meant no ill will by it, but something about the tone of his remark seems insulting. When Akane replies, her voice is harsh. There was definitely a house there. We think that it's possible the house was recently rebuilt there.
中だとおっしゃってましたし、ひっそりとお住まいなんだと思います。
The house's residents seem to have some medical complications, so they lead a quiet life and rarely leave the premises.
なるほど。それなら知らなくても不思議はないか。
I see. I suppose it would make sense. I wouldn't know of them, then... Hold on, let's try that one again, guys. I see. I suppose it would make sense I wouldn't know of them then. Well, enough of that.
では、ホームルームを始めます。
Let's begin homeroom then. The Sandman claps his hands, putting a close to the matter. Nothing much happened after homeroom. Today really was strange though. After dinner, Kyoji goes back to his room. As he fiddles aimlessly with one of his monster figurines, Kyoji thinks to himself, the strange way the assignment ended today. His reunion with that girl, you couldn't imagine it, Mount Nishimori. And lastly, that strange, suspicious guy. It's one strange thing after another. The thought that something strange must be going on leaves him restless. I'm probably overthinking things. I don't think you are. After saying that to pull himself together, Kyoji reaches for his guitar and starts his daily routine of practicing. But when he touches the strings while picking it up, they let out a shrill, dissonant sound. It makes him feel like he's just been forced to gulp down something nasty. That feeling lingers in his chest. Okay, we're on the next day. And it began just like the previous. I don't know what to expect now, guys. Things got pretty creepy, didn't they? Some interesting stuff going on. Definitely makes you want to play more of this one. Well, we'll have more of it. This month for sure, you know, because we are doing a lot more Eroge on in Animagus. This is going to be our big anime or Eroge month every year. So I hope you guys enjoy this setup, and this will be the Grimlord, and I'll see you next time on Grim's Hentai Corner with more Gore Screaming Show.